I just want to share something about that. You know, as Ben said, so we supported 130 church planters in the first group, and then after 3 years, they're kind of self-supporting. So then it's another group of, I think it's 120 now, so 250 church planters, we call them. And I went over to India. I've gone there a couple times, and we've taken a few people on some trips. And I remember sitting with some of these guys and asking them, like, why do you do, you know, first I was trying to figure out from Reggie, like, how do you get 120 guys who want to plant churches, you know, in rural India, where they go into these villages where no one's heard the gospel, they're hostile to the Christian faith often. And so I'm sitting down and ask questions about that, and it's like almost to a person, almost to a man, you'd hear story after story of something miraculous that God had done in their lives or someone in their family. Everything from someone delivered from, you know, demonic possession to one, you know, sitting with one person telling of how they had a family member who was sick. There was no answer there. They did everything medically they could do. They went to the witch doctor or whatever, the leader there of the village, and nobody had an answer. And the mom went to sleep and had a dream, and there was some missionaries there, and the dream she had was, go to the missionaries and have them pray for you. And so woke up, went to the missionaries, had them pray for her. She was healed, came back, the whole family gave their life to Jesus. And it was just like, we have to tell people about this Jesus. And so every one of them was like, it wasn't like they had this idea. It's so different than the United States. Like, hey, I'm going to go plant a church. There's going to be a bunch of people who meet in a building and all these things are going to happen. And no, it's just like, I got to tell people about Jesus. So when we talk about church planting, it's going in the villages, telling people about Jesus. They gather 5-10 people. They meet wherever they can under a tree. And, you know, maybe eventually they might have a little structure, but they're just telling people the good news of the gospel. And it's really awesome, and lives are being touched, and lives are being changed. And to me, it's incredible to be a part of that. This morning's a little different, so if you're visiting with us, I'll apologize in advance. It's a little bit different this morning, but I hope that God speaks to you in some way. We usually go through books of the Bible, and we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're going through the book of Luke. Last week, we were in Luke chapter 6, and it's Jesus giving this sermon, and he talks about what it's like to live in the kingdom of God, okay? And I talked about how he pronounces blessings on us as we live for him, and one of the things that I mentioned was that God's invisible kingdom is made visible through his people, okay? So think of God's kingdom as where everything is as it should be. God rules and reigns. So his kingdom is in heaven. Everything is as it should be. There is no sin. There's no pain. There's no death. There's no struggle. But Jesus came to usher in the kingdom here on earth. He told us to pray for God's kingdom to come. His kingdom comes in us. He rules and reigns in our hearts. As we live for him and obey him, the kingdom comes here on earth. And so although we can't eliminate sin, we can tell people how their sin can be eliminated through faith in Jesus. We can't do away with all pain, but we can tell people how they can walk with God. God will walk with them and get them through that and be with them through that. It doesn't eliminate struggle, but we're never alone in the struggle. And so as we live out our lives for Jesus, the kingdom comes here on earth and it's made visible. People see something different. We looked at this passage out of 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read it to you. It says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, God's entrusted us with the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, that God is forgiving sin and has forgiven sin and what Jesus has done. If you put your faith in him, the one who had no sin but took all of our sin on the cross, he will forgive us of our sin, not count our sin against us, which is awesome. Amen? Because I don't know about you, I need that forgiveness. And so we those who believe, we are his ambassadors. We're his representatives. We have an opportunity to share this with the world. We do it as individuals. We do it as a body. It's what the church is here for. We as the gathered group of believers. And so we make the kingdom, the invisible kingdom, visible to people as we live for him. And if you want to know if a person's life is centered around the kingdom, just look at what they do with the resources that have been given to them. Like, what do you do with your gifts that God's given to you? What do you do with your finances? What do you do with all that's been entrusted? And so we should evaluate ourselves on that. Like, are we living for Jesus? Are we ambassadors for Jesus? And we should do the same as a church. If you want to know if a church, quote unquote, organization, is representing Jesus the way it should and his kingdom, then look at how we use our resources. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We do this once a year. We kind of show you where the resources here that you give, the financial gifts that you give, where they go, and how we use those. So I'm going to invite Pete to come up, and he's going to share with us some of that this morning. And this is our opportunity to bring the kingdom in different ways to different people. And so you'll hear about that, and I'm going to just pray for us as Pete comes up. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to represent you as individuals and as the church. And we're just so grateful for opportunities to serve and help, like with Reggie in India and other places. I pray that you just speak to us during this time. Remind us of your goodness and your grace and all that you're doing through this body of believers. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. This is one of my favorite times of the year. And for those of you that have been with us for a while, you know that this is something that we do annually. For those of you that maybe this is your first time ever being here at Emmaus, then this will be something that'll be interesting, I hope. And for those of you that have been with us a while but have never been through this financial presentation, again, we hope that this will be interesting to you. So here we are at the end of February 2023, and 2023 is as far away from 1983 as 1983 was away from World War II. Sorry. But does anybody here remember 1983? So that was the year that Microsoft Word was launched, the Space Shuttle Challenger program took its maiden flight, and Motorola introduced its first mobile phones to the general public. Wow, seems like such a long time ago. So this morning, we're going to take a look at our financial overview and talk about some significant events. We've added missionaries, and we've been part of some pretty cool opportunities, some of which you've already heard about this morning, and I'm going to talk more about those at the end. But with that said, let's look at what happened with our finances last year. So this is a pie chart, obviously, and on the right-hand side, as you're looking at it, is 2021, and then on the other side is 2022. So this is the income. This is all of the finances that we received at Emmaus. So in 2021, the total income was over $1.3 million, which was driven in part by a six-figure year-end income, which dramatically increased our income over the usual range. So that was an anomaly. Last year, 2022, it returned to within our more typical levels of $886,000. Just for some context, 2020 income was $863,000 and 2019 was $826,000. So we are tracking up, but it's somewhere around that same thing. So you see the general fund there is the majority of it. The missions and benevolence piece, so that is gifts designated for specific ministries or missions that we support. So if you write a check to Emmaus Church, but you put in the tagline, you know, India Missions, you know, Church Planters or whatever it is, and we give it to that directly. That's what that is. We track that as a separate piece. Tabitha Fund is another example of that. That's our in-house benevolence fund. All of the designated gifts are in that piece. So the percentage may change, but the amount of money is about the same. So again, it's a pie chart, so it's representative of the whole amount. So that gets skewed by the large amount of income that we got. The general fund is all the other gifts and offerings that we've received, and the miscellaneous income If you wrote a check to Emmaus for $20 for a Bible study book or some curriculum or whatever, went on a missions trip and wrote a check to cover some of the expense, that all of those income streams go into that miscellaneous fund. So that's what that 1% is. So that then takes us to the expenses slide. So I'm going to go through it first and then I'll talk about it at the end. So again, year over year. So we're looking at 2022. Payroll is the green portion there, 21%. We did implement a pay increase at the end of last year, effective the beginning of this year, for Vic and the stipended staff. As everyone is painfully aware, we are experiencing inflation pressures, and so we did elect to do that. So it's not reflected in this graphic, but it will be obviously in next year's. The banking piece as well is in there. And if you remember last year, we shared how we'd moved $400,000 of that large year-end contribution into an interest-bearing account. We've moved that again to another account that gives us even a little bit more interest. We did draw a relatively small amount from it at year-end, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. So we've still got over $370,000 in that higher interest-bearing account. And again, I'll come back and talk about that here in a minute. The next piece I want to turn your attention to is the light blue section, the ministry and administration. So that's all of the expenses that we incur for doing ministry, such as the breakfast, paper goods, toilet paper, children's shirt supplies, office supplies, communion, all of it, the connection groups. If you are in a connection group, we provided the cups and the plates and the silverware and that kind of stuff. All of those expenses, picnics, welcome dinners, all of that goes into the expenses of doing ministry here at Emmaus. So that's that piece. And then lastly, we have the little yellow piece, and that is the building. That's expenses for operating and maintaining the building. So that would be janitorial costs, cleaning, repairs, and also the mortgage interest, which is an expense that gets put into that category too. Okay, but the biggest piece of that is our missions and benevolence expenses was 53%, which is amazing. So that means that 53% of everything that we spent here at Emmaus went to missions, church planting, or benevolence. So last year that represented a little over $465,000, which is almost a $60,000 increase over the previous year. So hallelujah, that's awesome. So 53% of expenses. That includes monthly missionaries and annual ministry support that we're engaged in. This comes from the love your neighbor as you love yourself. If we spend a dollar on us, we want to spend a dollar on somebody else. That's where that concept comes from. That's the Mark 12. We've talked about this many times. This is not a goal. It's not that our goal is to reach 50%, but we use that as a yardstick to measure how we're doing in our giving. So I just want to be clear on that. We don't fire sale at the end of the year to just give away money so we can reach some arbitrary number. We're just constantly tracking how we're doing on that to see if we're moving in the right direction. Our only goal is to obey the Lord and be faithful stewards of His resources. That's our only goal. So, if we can move on to the next slide, Miss Tiffany. So the next bullet point is keep measures in place to ensure transparency and accountability. Well, here we are. The elders also review the finances monthly. The financial records are openly available. If you want to see them, you can just come and ask. We'll gladly help you with that. We do periodically post them online. We genuinely have an open door policy if anyone has any questions. There are multiple levels of checks and balances in place, from receiving the offerings, counting, bookkeeping, there's a circular accountability that everybody's accountable to somebody else. As far as accounting goes, we use business standard accounting procedures. We actually use QuickBooks, like many of you who may have your own business might use. And again, if anybody has any questions, come and ask us. It is not off limits. One of the things that we do is we maintain a 4 to 6 month operating cost cash reserve, okay? So we have an operating account and then we have a money market account, and we keep those maintained at minimum levels to ensure that we can operate effectively regardless of ebbs and flows in giving. For example, in summer when everybody's traveling and on vacation, giving tends to dip down a little bit. We have a lot of ministries and missionaries that we support, and they depend on people like us staying consistent with that support. So we maintain that minimum balance in order that we can support them faithfully. And again, I talked about it earlier, we have the higher interest yielding account for those set aside funds. And I want to just be clear, we have no intention of hoarding that money any longer than necessary. So our goal is not to have a big fat bank account. That is not at all. As soon as the Lord leads us, we will disperse those funds. So we're just waiting on Him. In fact, there are several significant opportunities that are bubbling up, and we're excited to see what the Lord will invite us to be a part of this coming year. Okay, so stay tuned. We will definitely keep you informed. Next bullet point. We will continue a conservative approach to new commitments, particularly monthly support commitments. As I alluded to prior, when we take on a monthly commitment, we have the responsibility to sustain that, and we take that seriously. We don't want to overburden the ministry with committed, yes, we're going to support you every single month commitments. We definitely do, but we're conservative on that. We have criteria for who we partner with because we get inundated by requests for various ministries and missionaries, right? Our email addresses are on the website. We get hit with all kinds of asks from every direction. So we have to filter that. So what we do is we prioritize those with direct relationship with Emmaus. In other words, if somebody here is engaged in a ministry, doing something, giving somewhere, and they bring it to us, we're more likely to partner with that ministry than we are just some random person sending us an email. When we do take on ministry and missionary support, we expect a certain amount of feedback, updates, and preferably missions moments. We do missions moments for two primary reasons. One is to show you where the money's going, and obviously the second reason is maybe you'll see something that sparks some interest in your spirit, your heart, and you want to get engaged with that ministry too, either physically going and serving or giving financially or praying or whatever, okay? But it's important for us that we see what the Lord is doing. Like we heard from the missions moment this morning, I mean, what a testimony of amazing fruit from supporting those church planters in India. We have never said no because of finances to anything the Lord has ever led us to. Never. And the elders have to have 100% unanimous approval before we move forward on anything significant. Which takes me to the last slide, and this is the ministries that we currently support here at Emmaus. All the names above the line are all individual missionaries that we support. And all those below the line are ministries that we support. And some of those ministries are local, some of them are stateside, a lot of them are international. And then finally, what's populating now on the right-hand side is the church plants that we've actively supported. There are a few more that we've supported through Converge, which is our covering ministry, but that there, Emmaus Church, is a picture of all that you guys get to be a part of when you give financially here at Emmaus. Amen. So the church plants that we support, that comes directly from a church planting fund that we have. We currently set aside 4% of our monthly income towards church planting. That's how significant and important that is to our mission. Last year, we gave almost $30,000 to church plants alone. We built 3 churches in Uganda last year that serve unreached people groups as well. So that's the church planting fund. So the question is, how do we do that? If you've been around church for any period of time, you know it is not common for ministries to give away that kind of money. And so the way that we do that is we run a very lean, stripped down ministry. Vic is the only full-time paid staff member, and we have several part-time stipended staff members that help out with different places. So Levi leads the worship team, Shantae back there with Children's Church, there are several individuals, Donna with our bookkeeping, for example, all part-time, all stipended, which means we were heavily reliant upon volunteer support. The majority of everything that goes on here, with the exception of cleaning the toilets, is done by volunteers. Hospitality, the musicians, sound, greeters, ushers, children's church, youth, safety team, building maintenance, all done by volunteers, all of it. Things that perhaps you haven't considered. The breakfast team don't just serve the food, they actually go to the store and buy it, and then they bring it here and they prepare it. So shout out to Daryl and Courtney, John and Tori, David and Tess, Rebecca and Emmy. All the supplies and sundries like bottled water, toilet paper and coffee cups, they don't just magically appear. Somebody has to go to the store and buy them, and that's Susie Kitchen. Thank you very much, Susie, for all you do. And the women's and men ministry events are put on by volunteers. In fact, everything that happens here, from the children's church to the youth to the over 50s, is all run by volunteers with some part-time staff to oversee the administration. That's how we do it. Many of you are serving in multiple areas several times a month, and our goal, we try to only schedule, if we have enough people, to ask you to do something once a month. That's the goal. If you're not currently serving in something and you'd like to, come and talk to me and we will plug you in. So the second piece of this is finances. So everything that we can only do because of those of you who give. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your giving faithfully here at Emmaus enables us to do all of these fantastic things. So I wanted to take a few minutes to review some examples of how your giving here blesses lives both locally and overseas. So Ben mentioned this a little bit in the missions moment, but at the end of last year, we were asked by Pastor Reggie in India to consider helping with the purchase of new sandals for the leprosy patients that their ministry serves. Every week, we currently provide fresh vegetables and protein to supplement the meager government rice rations, as well as medical supplies as they arise for 2 of the hostels. We also help out with a third location on occasion too, but there are actually a total of 5 in the scope of ministry that Reggie ministers to. So the ask was to provide sandals for all 5 hostels, a total of 680 pairs at a cost of $15 each. And I'll save you the math, that's $10,200. And I'm thrilled to report we were able to cover 100% of that because of your overwhelming response to that. And in fact, Reggie posted an update on our missions Facebook page, so I wanted to share this quick video with you.
I'm here today to follow up with leprosy sandals, the stitching of the leprosy sandals. And you can see that the leprosy sandals are being stitched, and it's still on the process to be get finished, to be stitched for everybody. And I just came here to see how much it's done and how long it'll take and how fast we can give it. So it's still in the process, and half is done, and we still have a lot more to go. And this is Mr. Saurya Pint. He is the one who has been helping us for many, many years in stitching this sandals and the prosthetic legs and all of those. And with him is their associate, Mr. Babu and Mr. Sampath. And they have been a tremendous help in the last couple of years. So just wanted to update you. In a couple more weeks it will get over. It's still more more saddles on the other side of this room. I'll take a few pictures, but it will get over in a week or so. But before I leave to come to the US, probably I'll get this distributed to the leprosy patients. Thank you, MAS. You have been a great and a tremendous support and a blessing to many, many people here in India. Thank you, and God bless.
And then he just recently started giving all of those sandals away, and he's got 60 some photographs on our Facebook page, so I just snatched a few of them, but here you can see those same sandals being given out. So other highlights. We gave away $67,000 of year-end gifts outside of our normal support to missions and ministries, including gifts such as $10,000 to Isaiah 117 House, who recently closed on, I believe it was their property, to build the house. Amen. We sent $8,000 to the Steeds in Guatemala to help them purchase a vehicle that they needed for the ministry. $2,000 to Love Ethiopia to fund the shipment of clothes to Ethiopia. $2,000 to provide the medical needs of disabled orphans being cared for by the Nortons in their orphanage in Guatemala. $3,000 to assist the Castros. And $2,500 to Foster Closet. So that's some of the things that we did. We also support Chris and Holly Steeds' ministry, right, Project for Hope in Guatemala. If you've been here for any length of time, you know that Chris and Holly came out of Emmaus. They were serving here, and then they got called out to serve in Guatemala. Early in the year, we gave $50,000 towards the next installment of the $600,000 land purchase. So they purchased a $600,000 piece of property in Guatemala to have their ministry facility on. So we gave them another $50,000, which left a balance of $150,000 due. Now, as part of their recent reorganization, they've instituted a new board of directors. And so we decided to encourage the new board to engage in ongoing future fundraising efforts. We've offered a $75,000 matching gift grant so that they can raise the rest against that and finish paying off the land completely, which we're anticipating they'll be able to do this year. So they will finally be paid up on that $600,000 piece of property. So hallelujah. We also paid off $25,000 of our mortgage, because while our heart is definitely outward focused, we also need to be wise stewards of our building, and we move towards being debt free as soon as we possibly can. So we're currently making double mortgage payments every single month. So we're doing. So of course, none of this would be possible without your faithful financial support. Of course not. But there's another equally important piece that I'd like to talk about this morning. And just like any household, to use a football analogy, defense is just as important as offense. If you think of the offensive team being the income side, then the expenses is like the defensive team, right? So you may bring in a great income, but if you're not wise in how you spend it, you're going to be in trouble. Likewise, we couldn't operate our household here at Emmaus without a strong defensive team. This means that many expenses are reduced because you guys step up and help out. And this is something we take seriously. Anything that we can do ourselves to save hiring a contractor to do it, we do. And I say we do because the elders are equally invested in doing projects ourselves as well. So we had an issue with our Wi-Fi. All of the QR codes that you see on the things, people were trying to access the internet, it wasn't working, the bandwidth was maxed out. As many of you know, if you buy internet service and it has a certain amount of capacity, right, a certain bandwidth, if you think about a water pipe coming into your house, it has only X amount of water that can flow through it, and we were maxed out. We're upstreaming the live stream, the children's church are doing videos back there, so we were faced with a choice. We could increase our monthly spend forever by buying more internet and adding to our bandwidth, which didn't really seem to make a lot of sense considering we're only here for Sunday mornings a month. So we started looking at some other options. What we decided to do was to boost our cell phone reception here inside the building so that we can all use our, most of us have unlimited data on our cell phone plans, right? So we could all use our own cell phone data plans instead of adding to our internet bill. It would also mean that our cell phones would now work inside the building. Yay! So you don't have to go out into the parking lot and try to... So a commercial grade booster capable of covering the thousands of square feet we have would cost around $3,500 installed. So that would be a one-time cost that would solve both the internet access, the phone connectivity, and this would represent obviously a long-term cost savings because we wouldn't be having a monthly ongoing bill increase, right? Makes sense. But we didn't stop there. Because we found out that we could save $2,000 by installing it ourselves, which is what we did. And I say we, because Vic and myself, the two guys who are the most scared of heights, got up on the roof and installed the outside antenna and ran the cabling and installed the two inside antennas. So I'm up on the roof, knees trembling, trying to navigate walking on metal roof without falling off or buckling the panels. That would be great, right? We installed the antenna and just destroyed the roof. Vic's going up and down the extension ladder, his head popping up, saying, is there anything else you need? And he's on the ladder. I'm on the roof. We got it installed, and the funny thing was, we weren't even sure it was even going to work. We're sure if this works. But praise the Lord, we plugged it in, and on the controller, all five channels went green, and we have boosted cell phone signal in the building. And that's just one of the many examples of how we do everything that we can to reduce costs. So what I've got here is a slideshow of some of the projects that many of you all did last year. Oh, it was running the whole time? So just keep talking. So this is the mission wall. So there's Mr. Ron. Right, banging away. In fact, let me stay with the photographs. That was it finished before the TV went up. Picnic tables that we put together to put out in the park area out back. I think she started again. So yeah, there's the cell phone booster. Did we start over again? Is that what happened? There's Tom. So it's not just about nuts and bolts, right? But Tom is responsible for doing those chalkboards out there in the cafe. So he's using his gifts. Here's our spring work day. There's Mr. Ron again. We were taking down trees, mulching beds, things that we could have paid a landscaper to do, but we did it ourselves. Everybody helped. The youth were involved. And again, there were lots of photographs. We cleaned inside the building too, upstairs in the youth room. We cleaned the cafe, got all the dust bunnies off. Some ladies sorted out the resource library upstairs that we have, so they were up there. And of course, we ate, because that's what we do. And then finally, I want a big shout out to David Souza. David, can you stand up for just a second, brother? He took it on himself to pressure wash the outside of the building, but not only does he do did that, which we didn't ask him to do, he also comes in here every time we lift chairs and we have youth. That Thursday afterwards, he comes in here and cleans the floors. And he's been faithful to do that. He lives back here in the neighborhood. Not only does he do that, he's driven past a few times and seen that we've had a big event here on a Friday night. He's taken it upon himself to come back in again on a Saturday morning and clean the floors again, just so that we have clean floors for Sunday morning. So thank you, brother. And we could mention, I mean, it's like an award speech, right? All the people you could thank. Tech team, Chris Andrews and the guys, not only making the tech work on stage, but the live stream, network cables through the children's church, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So when you give and serve here at Emmaus, it helps us to maintain the building that God has provided for us, as well as allowing us to direct over 50% of our expenses outward. And finally, we have a couple of serving opportunities to mention. Mr. Ron, could you stand up for just a second? I know you hate to do this, but I need to identify you. So this is Mr. Ron Spears. So he does most of our maintenance inside and outside of the building, but he needs some help with the outside landscaping. He's been doing it for years, but the time's come to slow down just a little bit. Now, we will hire a landscaping company if we need to. We estimate, we haven't gotten estimates, but we estimate it should, will probably be at least $1,500 a month to take care of the outside. But we're hoping that maybe three or four guys might want to step up and come up to the building on a Saturday morning and help knock that out. And breakfast would be on us. And if that's something you're interested in doing, talk to Ron. That's why I asked him to stand up. Also, I would love to get a monthly cleaning team, just a couple of people, to come and clean and dust the cafe area, right? We did some galentines, we did some baby showers, and there's like dust bunnies blowing by. It would really be nice to have some people come in here maybe once a month and just help us clean those spaces up. We do have a janitorial company, but they're cleaning the bathrooms mostly and mopping the children's church floors every week to keep those sanitized. And we really don't want to pay them to do anything more than that. So if that's something you're interested in, come and see me. And I'll end on this. Just thank you for all of the hard work, all of the generosity, all of the support that you do here at Emmaus. We couldn't do all of the amazing things that we do without every one of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. So I'll invite the band to come back up. You know, in many churches, this would be a great time to get up and for me to invite you to give more, right? It's like the setup. It's like T-ball. Like the ball is right there, and I got this. Now, here comes the speech. But that's not what I'm going to do. What I want to do is just say, echo what Pete said. Say thank you for those of you who do give and are engaged in what we're doing here through Emmaus. And again, let me go back to what I said earlier. The invisible kingdom of God is made visible as we live for him, and as you live for him in your everyday life, and in your everyday life, you use your gifts for him, you serve him, and yeah, that includes our giving as well. But just know all the little things that you do to serve people, to love God and love others, is a witness to the world. You know, you give financially, you know, you... There's no way to put it, you know, through pictures to explain to you what happens when someone who is confined to this little room for the rest of their lives because they have leprosy living in India. And they know and believe in Jesus, some of them, their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they know that that's where they're going to live, you know, for their existence here on earth. They feel forgotten by their own people. And for someone to come in and say, we want to care for you, we love you, we want to remind you that God loves you, here's a pair of shoes so that you can get around a little bit better, here is some nourishment for you, some food, you're not forgotten, you're loved by God, and you could just imagine, you know, when you go through a struggle, when I go through a struggle here, and what are our struggles? I mean, like, our struggles can be very ridiculous, right? When you think about it, we say them all the time, first world problems, we all have those. Well, imagine, you know, losing a limb and then having to walk to use the common bathroom that's there and can barely get there and feeling like, God, where are you? And then someone shows up with a blessing like that. And it's like, that's when the invisible kingdom is made visible. That's when people see, hey, you're not forgotten. God loves you. And so when they asked Jesus, like, how should we pray? I mentioned this last week. How should we pray? And he said, you know, you pray like this. And I wanna ask you to stand. I'm gonna just kind of walk us through the Lord's Prayer, and then we're gonna finish with a song here of worship. And because when he told them, you know, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, that doesn't just happen, like, you know, mysteriously out there. He does that through his people, all right? And so thank you for making yourself available. Thank you for surrendering to him. Thank you for living for him. And thank you for being a testimony to the world of what it looks like to live in the kingdom. But let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. You are holy, God. You are set apart. It's a privilege to serve you. It's an honor to stand here in your presence. Holy is your name. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. And God, we just sit here, we stand here, we make ourselves available. Let your kingdom come in our lives. Show us how we can make your kingdom visible to people here on earth. Show us, God, how we can serve you in a way that's a testimony to others that you're alive, you're here. There's something better than what this world has to offer. God, thank you for provision, for our daily bread. I don't think there's anyone in this room who has to worry about where our next meal is coming from. But there's people all over the world who do. And so, God, thank you for allowing us to be a part of providing for those in need here in Jacksonville and around the world. Thank you for giving us our daily bread and providing for our needs. And Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that we could stand before you because of what Jesus has done, cleansed and healed and whole in our souls because of what you've done. Our faith is in you and you alone. And help us to forgive those, Lord, who've sinned against us, just as you've forgiven us. So God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. And we thank you that we can be a part of your kingdom. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this last song.